No, you're not going to be able to do that after May 25th.
Can you?
No.
Right.
General data protection requirement would require that every time we record a conversation, we would all have to consent at the start of the meeting.
Cool. We could do that.
Okay. Does everyone consent to record
it?
No.
Then you're stuck.
Yeah, but literally. So if we want to continue recording after May 25th, we actually have to agree at the start of the meeting that we're going to record it.
So how does that relate then to if you're speaking?
If you're speaking
in a message or a conference, do you have to get everyone's permission?
If you are...
Or, like, so then you're not recording them, or I suppose in the question and answer you would.
Yes. You have to say that the meeting's being recorded. Mm-hmm. And that by attending the meeting, mm-hmm. you accept and consent.
Can you do that?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
In the context, so because you're there, it's for the purpose of the meeting. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on the purpose. Oh, I've been on a conference, I've been on a course. So
we're really looking forward to that training.
You
are.
You see.
You're going to enjoy it. The good news is most of it we already do, which is good.
Yeah. I think they're pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. Levity put truth in that. So, right, we met today and we were talking around some stuff that has been highlighted and some things that we've seen, or something that Mike in particular has seen that is an issue. And I know that the Seven have mentioned it before, which is this thing called Destiny Robber. Do you recall?
Yeah.
The Octopus got that on there.
Well, we think it's a wider context and a wider issue, and it's something that's trying to hold us back from all the developments and stuff that's going forward. So I didn't see it, but we've talked about it, so I'll let Mike explain.
Yeah. Well, what I saw was that as a dragon, and I was looking down on all our mountains and how everything was arranged in that realm, and didn't notice anything, so I'm just looking. Because it wasn't flying like that around, so you could see it, but it was circling quite wide. So you couldn't see it if you were just looking at the circle, at the blueprint, at the mountain. You couldn't see it because it was actually
wider.
So I think in hindsight, looking at what's been done is probably sort of pushed it out but not got rid of it. So it's still actually circling around. But what I did see then was, like, within the sphere of our blueprint and the different mountains, it looked like sort of flies. You know, because I'm looking at it from a distance, but they were, rather than going round, they were going in and coming out. So they would go in and they were, like flies are, annoyances. They buzz, don't they? And when they're in a room, it's just like, don't even fly. And then they sort of all go quiet until they buzz again. Then they're like, where is it? So it felt like that this was connected to this Destiny Robber thing. And there were little things that were coming in and annoying, frustrating, sometimes actually stinging, like, because you have a horse fly, it bites you, it can be quite a nasty infection, can't it? But most of the time it was just in and out, and you really didn't see them once they were out, but you were left with the frustration of what had caused. So there were annoyances and frustrations, which actually was connected to Destiny Robber, was creating this sort of overall environment where this could take place. That's really what I saw when we were looking sort of at the season we're in and what season should we be in. I mean, this was the context. We were looking at, well, where are we and what are we coming up to and what's God want us to move into? And it was like, there's some stuff here which is still in place, which is a hindrance. And we'll see. As one of our key mandates is to help people find and fulfill their destiny, anything that's potentially robbing people's destiny or hindering, restricting, limiting, whatever it is obviously not something that we want to tolerate.
Yeah.
So it has been mentioned before, and I think it's been.
I think it was we did a court case.
Yeah.
I think I saw something.
Not recently.
No, it was quite a while ago. I remember.
No, we had something.
They'd be on Slack.
So.
Oh, you saw something that was like flailing, didn't you? That flailing thing.
Yeah. It just it.
Told you at the time.
You know, it wasn't like it was so coming around restricting that you would really see it. That's why, because I didn't notice it. But I noticed these things coming in and out, and then I looked, where's that coming from? And then I looked out and saw this thing was going around at a bigger circle, but still there, effectively, hindering in the environment. So it's a question of, well, why is it there? What is it doing? So what are the symptoms? What are the symptoms of these things that are annoyances and hindrances and frustrations and sometimes attacks? But why is it there in terms of what reason, legal right, what's actually behind it? I think that's something that we need to identify, so that we can actually deal with it together. Because I think whatever it does, it creates an environment which just hinders us and restricts us. And then how do we then deal with that? Once we've got rid of it, how then do we make sure that how that's been potentially outworking in people's lives gets sorted? Because I think the temptation always is, well, we've done a court case and that's it, we've got a legal right, but then that legal right has to be enforced and acted on, and we have to ensure that we're not in agreement with how things have been or whatever that might be, as an ongoing thing, and not just obviously for us. There's everyone else who's affected by it within that sphere, who may not be aware of that per se, but would probably be aware of potential frustrations or hindrances or annoyances in their own lives, as well as what happens here between us, between the mountains, between the benches on the mountains, because essentially that's where it all gets out worked, isn't it? So I think it's a matter of trying to seek for wisdom and insight into that.
We were actually doing a court case about ill health, but this is what I saw, which is kind of relevant to share in mind what you just said, so I don't know, just to do with ill health. But we felt that there was an assignment against us, but what right did the enemy have to follow it through? Which is really what you're saying. What writes this?
Yeah.
A huge black creature, breathing fire, was seen. It had a long whip type mace and was inflicting wounds. It was called Destroyer and was trying to wear people down. And at the time, someone else felt that, because we were saying, okay, so what's the access? Why this is the cyber? Why has it got an axe? What's the access? Was a door had been opened because of disunity amongst government. If unity commands blessing, what does disunity do?
Okay.
That was back in January.
Well.
That was the 3rd of January.
Yeah.
It's kind of similar to what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah. It's whether that thing coming in is like a mace on the end of a whip or something, because that would be sort of like in and out in relation to the overall thing. If there is disunity, why and what and how? Because I think we would concur with that, having done a court case ourselves today, to look at, is there anything that is accusing us of not creating the environment, but agreeing with it or cooperating with it or having those frustrations or whatever and those type of things. So we looked at that for ourselves, and obviously there's always accusations, so we had to look at how do we deal with those accusations. And it wasn't actually between us, was it?
No.
It was actually between us and everybody else. And therefore, if it's between government, then potentially that could be operating at every level. So it could be between 3 and 7, it could be between 3 and 12, it could be between 7 and 12, it could be between each mountain. You know, potentially, that's the thing we have to identify. You know, is there disunity would be, and we've looked at this before, us and them. Is there us than them type mindsets? And if there is, what is causing that? And how do we deal with it? Because I think there's a sense where we want to operate within a culture of honour, and we did a whole session on looking at what is a culture of honour and how do we operate in it, but is it actually operating? And are we feel free to actually exercise that culture of honour? Because there's the two aspects of it. There's the openness and there's the honesty. So the openness is, well, I'm willing to for others to reveal any blind self areas in me. And the honesty is, I'm willing to reveal any blind self areas I see in anybody else, to help facilitate things being in the light. So does everyone, would everyone feel free to operate like that? Because that's what the culture of honour does, to deal with potential blind self issues, which, you know, I don't think anyone deliberately goes out to do anything wrong to each other and cause disunity. You know, that's not what it's about, is it? But it's how does it work? You know, how does that go on within our own mindsets, thinking, or subconsciously, what are we restricted by? So, you know, those are some of the things which I think we need to identify to then deal with. So when you saw this thing back in January, what did you do with it?
Well, we did a corporate and put it on Slack, and I told you about it.
So,
and I think I mentioned to Becky about it, because in light of, it kind of came when we did it, talking about ill health, but it seemed possibly...
That was the time that I was doing the portal thing. Bench, wasn't it?
I'm not saying it wasn't to do with ill health, but I just think it's interesting because it's kind of similar to what you're saying.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was. I don't think it's just ill health that it's affect. That's one mountain.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. That's why I've said it again now.
Yeah.
In light of what you've said,
yeah,
it's probably bigger than what we, at the time. That's the context that we were. That's what we were praying into then, wasn't it?
Because if there is a sense where things are unsaid or maybe feel that can't be said and all that type of thing going on, and there's also areas where if there's disunity, then there's lack of trust somewhere, because disunity is caused by having separation between people, caused by, well, I'm either suspicious of them, or I think they're against me, or I don't trust their motives, or whatever. I mean, that's the type of, I don't know, there's probably lots of other things that potentially will come into that. So what do you think causes disunity? If it's disunity beyond government, where would you see? Because obviously you did a court case. What actually, you know, what do you think were the key issues that you saw?
I'd say possibly it's relationships. Relationship.
Relationship as in?
Relationship with one another. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about lack of trust, I'm only just...
Yes, well, well obviously, yeah, yes, it's going to be between
benches,
people.
The mountains,
yeah.
Everybody. I mean, I don't know, but that's what came to mind.
So,
I mean, just now, not
yeah.
then when we did the court yeah. case. I mean,
but relationship is people relating to one another at different levels. It's not one type of relationship. There's all sorts of different relationships.
Mm.
There are friendship relationships. There are relationships which are functional. In other words, you relate when you're at work or when you're doing something together for a particular purpose, and you may not relate outside of that, or you might relate outside of that. So you can have different levels of relationship with the same people when you sort of work together. So if it's to do with different sorts of relationships, where would be the disunity between that, and what would be the potential causes of that? If it's lack of trust, then in what's actually behind it?
I mean, I don't know anything like, in a sense of like that. If I'm thinking back to government stuff, there seems to be quite, it seems to be difficult to, the relationship between the 3 and the 7, I don't think it's lack of trust, or it might be, but it, there seems to often be something, whether it's frustration, and that comes on both sides, whether it's perceived or otherwise, could, I'm trying to talk from a 7 perspective here, I'm not talking from my own perspective, I'm trying to, but I'm not the only one on the 7 that's here, so. so it could, it, whether it's perceived or real, if it's there, it creates disunity, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
And I think sometimes, and if I do take it from myself personally, then it sometimes feels like frustration, and that can come either way. So sometimes it can feel like, if I say you, I don't mean you personally, you, but as a 3, it feels sometimes like there's frustration coming from that side, and sometimes we get frustrated, and I'm a 7, not many. So that in itself, and I have no idea what particularly causes that. I just would say that that's something that's potentially an ongoing thing, whether real or not, it's perceived. So sometimes, would I be correct in saying that after a 12 meeting, there can be frustration that it's felt the next time like there's been frustration coming from the bench, potentially, and then on occasions when we've discussed some, there's been frustration of like, well, what do they want? Which, if those things aren't talked about and resolved, and they're not, for whatever reason, that in itself is a source of disunity creeping in, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm...
Yeah,
if somebody else would like to say something, I'm not saying this, I'm looking
yeah,
at
that's
it as
definitely
a...
That's one potential source that I think, you know.
But it seems to be, I'm not saying it's all the time, but it is an ongoing thing that seems to come around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's been recently, possibly. I can't think.
I know there was one when I think it was when my, well, it was a couple of months ago now,
yeah.
I think it was when my mum died, which I wasn't here for, and I think the next, there was a sense of frustration
yeah.
from that one, but I wasn't here then, so I don't know. But it seems to go around in cycles, if you like, of...
Okay. Well, I think in a sense that this is governmental, the frustrations that arise are because of governmental things. They're not relational things. It's like, because we don't have any that type of falling ads, but so they're a relational, they're within the governmental things. It's like maybe expectations or expectancy of certain things, and when they don't seem to line up, then that can create a frustration on, well, you're saying, well, what do they want? Well, we just want you to govern. So, in a sense, so if there isn't sense of government, then it would feel, oh, there's a frustration. And if you're saying, well, we're frustrated, well, we don't know what they want from us, then there's obviously, in that sense, a lack of
I don't think
clarity.
Sometimes it would appear, sometimes things change. And so...
constant change.
Yeah, and it's that kind of like...
change as in... well, there's a, yeah, there's evolution change and
no,
things
I'm not
that move.
About that. Like
change
it,
as in what?
Well, it appears like expectancy change or... I'm trying to think of something that was recent that could be an example. Just to say, like, this is an example. There was something that was about to do about this time, and I can't think what it was.
This time? This time, as in?
No, about this time that I'm talking about.
Oh right, around the beginning of January.
Oh, was it something to do with Christmas or deciding? We'd stepped in about something. I can't remember what it was, and it was like, we felt something, then you said, no, that's not right, go back and step in again, but I can't remember what it was now. It's Christmas time or something.
I can't remember. There's a couple of things that maybe, I think there was a period of time where one time you were here on your own, and one time you were here, and Mike wasn't here. Mm-hmm. And so something had been said that we queried and brought it back the next time when I don't think you were here, but the answer was different. And then you just kind of feel like, well... I can't think what it was.
Does some of the stuff centre around communication?
Yeah.
Well, communication is always going to be an area where potential confusion can come.
Yeah,
and
opinions
and stuff can be shared in different ways.
Specific where it was like something was said about it being a responsibility of a seven.
Oh, that.
And I think we brought it to you and said, is that a responsibility of seven? And you were like, no.
That was to do with
the difference between asking for input and opinion and communicating that you need to have a part to play in a decision and it is your responsibility to make the decision, which you felt was being said when I don't think it was being said. What was being said was, we value input from everybody into these things because everyone's involved. So like an internship, it's like whether we have one or not depends on who it would be for. So who would make hear from God? Well, let's say Farr decided, God said to get an intern, then Farr would actually go and present that and says, we feel God saying an intern. But then we would all have to communicate with, what does that mean? Because if an intern came to work with Farr, then they would also be part of the church while they were here, so there would be an implication for, well, how would they be integrated in what's going on while they're here? Yeah. So that's a communication of, we're not asking you to say whether a internship is the right thing to do. That would be something which I think we would all need to look at together. But there's input. And I think that's what... how I would see it, and I think how we would see it. So whatever happened, there was a communication of that which had been picked up in, well, you're wanting us to make a decision over internship and we don't know what it's about. But we're more likely...
Was this about that time? Because I don't think I was here on that.
That was the issue you came back to when I was here and you asked me and I was like, well, I don't know. I wasn't here and don't know what was said. But this is what we said when we talked. Yeah. I'm just to share, well, when we said, it's like, actually, everyone needs to have an input into these things because we want to communicate so everyone's either aware of or feeling, hey, well, is there a part we play in that?
Yeah.
You know, which I think is how it should be, because I think all of us are interacting. It's like the flower of life thing with all the different mountains, is they all touch each other somewhere, so it makes a difference. Or, you know, if there's a multi-level internship where someone is going to do a few months of this, a few months, then it would affect lots of different people, potentially, in how that might be outworked. And a lot of people would have to be involved in the communication and the agreeing of what that might look like. So that would be an issue which would create, well, obviously it created frustration with you because you were like, well, we've been told to make a decision and we can't make that decision. And it's like, well, no, you weren't asked to make that decision. You were just asked to go and see if God was saying anything to you about it, which is a different thing. It's like wanting communication and wanting input to feed into the general sense of what's going on, you know, I think is something that we feel. I think there are frustrations in a sense when things get put to back to here or back to us, which are things that we think, well, we don't actually need to be involved in that decision. That's something you can decide, like Christmas or not, you know, whether
you
we
say
to...
that you say that, and I understand that the year before we said no to something and you all said, well, actually we don't think God's saying that.
Yeah,
so that isn't actually correct.
But then in if something like that, then it was a wider setting that was brought back to, wasn't it? So you brought it
no,
back.
No, we were asked to get, it was about, I don't know if
it was
something.
It was a Christmas date a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was, and we really felt like no, and it was really strong. Like, why wouldn't you want to get together? Why wouldn't we want to do it until we feel God is saying it? And is that,
well,
which
no,
might be a while ago. No, it was.
We've
it was
never
really,
met on a Christmas day ever.
No, it wasn't,
no,
it
wasn't
a Christmas
day.
It was one of those things that you say, we don't want to bother about this, you go make a decision, and we did, and we brought it back. And no, I'm not saying that's now, but that is an example when you're saying like some things we're not interested in. Actually, that's not.
Well, it's not that we're not interested,
well,
but we actually don't necessarily need to have the final say on a decision, or actually, some things don't need to be brought to the 12 necessarily on day to day things. There are some things which actually, but the communication of it does. That's the thing. If you make it, if God is saying something, then the communication of it, it's important that everyone is aware of it. You know, so, like, okay, what if we're in a season, like the last time we met, we said it would be really good if people went away and sought God for, are we in a particular season? Is there anything that God is doing? Are these things coming up? What are we going to do about that? And that was for everyone to have an engagement with God to see. You know, is there anything particular coming up that God wants to do at this time or the times ahead so we can actually all cooperate in how that works? Is that, that was the last time we met, I think. You know, so that would then be, is there any feedback from that? And then we then can all communicate on what that feedback might be. So the seven obviously felt something because they then did something about, well, we're going to do this on Sundays. But there may be a wider remit to that. Because some of this issue with Destiny Robber and other things, I really felt that we're looking to do some intensive engagements with people here who are going to visit here from other places to intensively help them break through certain situations to come into a deeper relationship with God or sonship. Or the first one is into the dark cloud, so you know, dealing with soul and spirit, that type of thing. But we haven't actually done that here. So we've really done very little ministry type thing here corporately. Generally, we've done is individual ministry. But when you're looking at a season, you probably need to think of it a bit more wider than just, well, there's going to be some individual ministry during this season, but actually, how do we minister to these issues in a wider sense? Particularly if it's a destiny issue or an issue of authority or government or identity, then how do we potentially do something that can really break through and deal with some of the issues that might be there? Particularly some of the relationship issues, if there are issues which are affecting how we interact with each other and different things like that. But also, when you look at issues to do with your identity, your position, your authority, there are some general questions that you look at in terms of the motivation of hearts who don't want to be involved, or actually do want to be involved, but there might not be pure motives on either side. One might be, well, I'm afraid to be involved, or I don't want to fail, or I don't feel confident, or I don't feel adequate, so I'm sort of like, I know God's calling me, but I'm not going to say yes. And the other side, it would be, well, I really like position because it makes me feel really important. So, you know, so I'm that's a mixture which will hinder everything. You know, all those type of things will be hindrances to our destiny, because there will be these little things that rob us. You know, because, you know, if there's that mixture of motives there, then what happens? Well, there is lack of authority, because God isn't going to release the highest level of authority if those motivations are in place. But we've not really ever done anything to deal with any of those things on a corporate basis. So, okay, let's really look at the things that are hindering us or obstructing us or wrongly motivating us when it comes to who we are and what we do in the kingdom, in God's government. You know, and they're bound to be there. And some of this stuff is blind. You don't know it's there. None of us know it's there. Unless it's pointed out by God, or a situation brings it to the surface so it becomes exposed, or someone says, actually, I really feel God wants me to share this with you because I potentially see this in operation. Those are generally the three ways things get brought to the surface. Or fourth way is we're operating in a culture of honour and we head on tackle some of those issues and bring them up for discussion and actually ask God to reveal those things in us. So I would say potentially if you're looking at Destiny Robber, the first thing would for all of us to do would to go back and ask, do we see that we're affected by that in any way? Is that actually affecting, robbing us individually of anything, and why? And if we can deal with that ourselves, then we can then look at how we deal with the wider issue. Otherwise, the thing is, oh well, let's deal with this Destiny Robber, let's kill this dragon, and our authority to kill it is dependent on whether we're operating in it, under it. And if they're blind self operating, then we really need to find out what it is. Otherwise, we're going to be continually, you know, not realizing what is actually affecting us. Because I think one of the things that we're looking to do, what Becky's really focusing on, is sort of dealing with some of the therapeutic things that can minister into our brokenness, and particularly in terms of parts that are stuck at particular areas or dissociated that cause some of these blind self areas, because they're operating not at a conscious level but at a trigger level, and they're triggered by something that's hidden, which could be actually a part of us that's living in the trauma of some past event or past different life. Not different life, it's reincarnated life, but this life is actually a life within a life, like a stuck part within life busting. You know? And I think those are some of the things which are being highlighted, aren't they? And I think the seasons that are coming are potentially to deal with some of those things.
Yeah, well, one of the things that we felt when praying was that God said, get ready and be prepared. Felt that it was a time for an opportunity, I guess, for deep ministry and dealing with those things that we've not previously been able to deal with, probably because we didn't even know they were there, and creating that opportunity and that space to for it to be, you know, okay to deal with it, not to condemn, but to be set free, and. You know, for all of us, we've all got, you know, blind self is, it's not just a, well, your blind self, it's like we all have blind self. Yeah. And so, you know, we need to be able to do that in love and to to be free to gently query or to help each other be set free. Because it's like it's no good, you know, all going around, you know, carrying this stuff forward. It's baggage, isn't it? And if we're going to be offering therapies to other people, we need to be set free from it, so that, you know, we start to have the authority to deal with it, but also not to be influenced or come into agreement with anything that is going to risk anybody else's. You know, if we're carrying something around that other people are attracted to, then that's going to be an unhealthy dynamic. Whereas if we're set free, we can then set, you know, set others free and pass it on. But also I believe that, you know, those a blind self is going to be the things that are going to stop us getting into a deeper relationship with God anyway. Which in essence I guess is to do with destiny, Robert, because you know our destiny is to be, you know, we are sons and daughters of the King.
So I think a good thing to do before we next meet would be for all of us to engage God ourselves and ask, is there anything that we can see, or any area where we are being robbed, or any area where we're stuck and aren't moving forward? Because an indication that we're being robbed is that we're stuck, because we should be increasing in wisdom and relationship and authority and everything that God's calling us. So if there is stuck areas, or we feel inhibited or held back, or any of those type of things, any negative things. We did a big thing dealing with disappointment to engage that golden river. And I think that golden river was not just a one-off. I think we can re-engage that golden river personally anytime we want to re-engage going further. But it will inevitably highlight stuff when you engage it, because it's going to challenge the areas which are stuck, or the areas which are hindered or held back or encumbered or chained or whatever different sort of terminology you want to use. So I think it'll be good for us all to seek for that, so that let's get a personal angle on it, as well as then looking at it corporately in terms of the environment that it's creating, or what it's allowing to take place or facilitate in taking place, or any of those things. Does that make sense? Because in this, we're going on a dragon hunt, not a witch hunt, in a sense, because, you know, we want to deal with what's causing it and how we're affected by it. We're not looking to say, well, everyone point the finger at each other, but we're looking to have an environment where we can be free to deal with anything that does come up and move on. I think particularly in sonship, God wants us as his children to get all our needs met in him. Everything that we actually need to fulfill our destiny is available in him, and we do not want to be following any do-it-yourself versions of that. And therefore, any, you know, when you talk about relationships, the potential for is that we look for that God wants to give us in other relationships. So they can be codependent relationships. So I've got a need, you've got a need, and we help each other, so we both feel needed. That's what codependency is, isn't it? You know, and there potentially is that if we're looking for our needs to be met in something else or someone else, then it is going to create problems. Because that will create a dynamic which is not healthy. Because it's very difficult to be honest with people that you so value their affirmation that you're afraid to say to them what you're feeling. Mm. And that potentially is one area that can be in operation. In light of looking at therapies and everything else, we were talking about sort of there's connection that Becky and Valtrat have made with someone who's involved in a lot of these therapies and does training and stuff and would be prepared to come and do some of that stuff with us. So she's based using oils, but a lot more than that. Seemingly, I'm looking at the website and looking at her resume of things. She's very much on the same track as we are, but has been doing this for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's an area that we might consider getting some help from someone from the outside who can come in and help us. And she does sort of toxic emotional stuff and freeing toxic emotions and various sort of therapeutic things with oils and
you know Carrie from or know of her, don't you, from way back. So I mean I know her through Valtrat, and we skyped with her last it was the end of the month on the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you can share a little bit of what her background is.
I think for quite a few years, she has been a pastor for
18 years, it says on her website.
18 years, yeah. Okay, 18 years that, and since then she's been a pastor for 18 years, and she's done lots and lots and lots of counseling during that time. And she said it took a long time to get people where she wanted to get them. But since she is using the oils, it goes much, much quicker. I mean, she calls it releasing toxic emotions with oils. But she knows lots of people like David Van Kuivering and Ray Hughes, and so she knows all this quantum stuff, how that works. She knows about, she talks about energy healing. She talks about all this stuff that has energy. Oils is one of that, light, sound, whatever. So she seems to know about all that stuff. Right now she concentrates on oils, but she knows about all this other stuff.
So who is she? What's her website?
Carrie Browning. Her website is
NewRenaissance.us.
Yeah.
We don't tend to get an awful lot of stuff from outside because most people aren't on our wavelength, and so they wouldn't really be.
Mm.
But she knows Joanne McFatter and people
yeah.
like that who are
yeah.
working with Ian Clayton and others. So
yeah.
there's a sense where the frequencies and stuff, this is really the era that God has
mm-hmm.
been moving us towards
yeah.
Therapeutically.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be potentially a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Obviously we'd have to coordinate it because we're quite
mm-hmm.
busy this year in various things. So, we'd have to look at when she was available and when we had some space. But it would only be like a day.
It would be a conference is what she's offered us, wasn't it? I mean, it was really lovely, wasn't it?
She has offered a day seminar and a few days where she is offering personal sessions. Yeah.
So when we were talking to her, it was just really lovely. It was very natural and easy. We made a connection really quickly. And it's the first time I've ever spoken with her or met her. And we were on a Skype call for over an hour, weren't we?
Mm.
And it just flew by. And she was really kind of like stuff that she was talking about was really resonating with us, and mm-hmm. and she said, well, God had given her a few connections and said and spoke that she would come to England, and yes. and then it was kind of like, well, actually, I'm really feeling that this is the connection that God has previously told me about, and so it was sort of like a sense of excitement, and actually, yeah, it was God's timing and stuff, and she recommended a few books for us to read, because we said that we were really interested in energy and actually resonating with the frequencies, and so she said, read these books, just they're really good sort of basic information to get you started. And previous to that, she'd done a conference in Florida, hadn't they? Good vibrations.
Yeah. I mean, she constantly does that one.
Yes. This is she said that they've just finished one.
Yeah.
And working with other people who are looking at that stuff. And so it's very mm-hmm. sort of quantum physics, looking at how we resonate and, you know, with higher frequencies, which are heavenly frequencies. Yeah. And so it was just really lovely. So we've ordered the books and started reading them, and I can't put my first book down. It's just really kind of like, yes, this is kind of what I've been, I know this, but it seems like all the other things that God has been showing us, they're all parts, you know, there's lots of these things, but they're all fitting together to bring this bigger picture. So it's not like a complete answer in itself, each of these things, but God is showing mm-hmm. us lots of different things that are working. You think, actually, that's more of a bigger picture of what he's showing us in terms of being able to set people free, but operating at a more heavenly level, and being able to, you know, with what we know with government, just being able to release those things, and with intention, you know, we looked at that, didn't we, in the bowl evenings. It's like the intention with which you do stuff, and a lot of these people are talking about intention, and it's just all coming together in terms of what God is showing us for us, wider ecclesia, drop in, and other people that, you know, God's going to say to you, to us, let's call in these other people groups to reach far and wide, really. And it's really exciting.
And looking at the examples of, there's some demo clips of her ministering mm-hmm. to people using this sort of
mm-hmm.
technique, it is not unfamiliar.
Mm-mm.
It's like the questions and the way the thing was phrased in terms of hearing God, getting the person to hear God, asking them what's going on, but adding into it the oils
mm-hmm.
to really break through at a deeper
mm-hmm.
level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, when I saw it, it's like she got someone to actually inhale the oils
mm-hmm.
from the bowl as the first bit, and then to rub some on them, and then, you know, it was looking at the area of this was some trauma, pretty deep
mm-hmm.
trauma by the look
yeah.
of it, of helping the person free. And in a sense, other than the fact that this person was on a table lying down, the way she was talking to her would be very similar to what any of you would talk to someone if you were leading them into a way of engaging God to set them free,
yeah.
whether it be a lie bust or something else. Mm-hmm. It didn't feel, it didn't feel like we're sticking her in a light pod and putting some sand and light and a crystal in there with her, you know, which is like, that's way out from what we've ever done, isn't it? You know what I mean? But this was almost like, oh, this seems right. Really, the next step would be a natural progression from what we already do and the wisdom and insight that we've already got. Using that with the actual way of releasing the things through what the oils do and everything else. So it did seem, when I looked at it and looked at that, I thought, yeah, this actually feels quite, it will be quite normal for us, but the next step, really. And potentially that would be something that she would come and do. And I think we could then broaden that out to people who may be interested obviously for Marketplace, but also others we know, because I think there's a lot of people who are starting to connect with these type of things. Because obviously, we've had all the oil evenings and things like that. It's something that's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, they're done as an individual. Like, we'll put a couple of these drops on your pillow or apply this to yourself rather than in a therapeutic mm-hmm. setting. And I think that's sort of the next step where it seems that would, where it would go.
Yeah. I think from my sort of point of view, I'm kind of more interested in actually learning how to resonate with the frequencies mm-hmm. of the oils. And you know, I think this is just like a step on the journey towards that. And Carrie herself said that she's looking more at energy healing, isn't she? In terms of different energy, different energy sort of teaching about different energies and stuff, which was actually really exciting, because that's actually where I feel that you know, is the next step or a step along the journey that God's got us on. But you know, with all of it, it's all about bringing freedom and releasing people from where they're stuck. But how it would work would be, she would come and do a day's seminar, conference type thing, which would be a paid for, so a small fee for that, and then she would then stay for a few days and offer sessions, healing sessions, which are 3 hours long. They're quite intense and in depth, and they're about £100, a bit more than that.
$15, yeah. $105. When I logged in, was it $105? Yeah. I think it changes that.
Yeah, it goes up and down. Yeah. So that would help. We wouldn't have to pay for her travel here. Ideally, she'd like to stay with someone, but you know, if she can't, then she would get B&B or hotel or something like that. But it would really be good to learn from her and that kind of thing. But also, you know, what God is saying about the direction that He's taking us in is the, you know, the main thing. So it feels like a good connection.
Yeah. And I think also, Valtra and Becky did a training with oils.
Yes.
And with a sort of massage type oil thing. And obviously you want to start practicing on people, don't you?
We do, yeah.
So we're going to get a table or something, because you have to do it on a proper table.
Yeah, we do, yeah. So I tried doing it on the bed, it didn't work very well.
So we need to do it on a table and then actually get some...
New brand.
No, I can't breathe.
Definitely need a table. But it's just really relaxing, and it's, you know, it's all, again, all along the lines of all the books I've been reading and what God's been telling me. And I've been reading these things with, like, okay, God, what are you saying with this? Because this is like, we need to look at what God is saying and from the new perspective and how that works. And so we will start that, won't we? So we need to get together this weekend and work that out. But we'll be starting to offer that to, as a, you know, something in the church and a sort of for a donation, and potentially we'll be doing it for offering it for the
intensives. Yeah.
When people come, but we'll need to set up a proper room for it. We are going to do that. But yeah, it's just quite exciting in terms of being able to minister to people. Bring people into freedom and give them tools, and you know, it's all about actually helping people to have a deeper, stronger connection, more intimate connection with God. So it's not about just
and in a sense, when someone's in a really relaxed state and they've been released, it'd be great to get them to step in heaven, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
It's like lie busting when that started.
Yeah.
People were having heavenly encounters without any orchestration. It was just like, well, now there's a whole openness here for you to engage God at a much deeper level. So it would be great to sort of see people have encounters with God in it. Not just be free, but to then use the freedom to get into God where you couldn't before. So I think there's potential there for everything that we want to do in terms of bringing people into a deeper relationship with God and helping them to find their identity. Because again, this is all that trauma stuff is blocking and robbing identity and destiny.
Yes.
Because people are so traumatized, you know, whether it be an very overtly traumatized life or actually most people, it's much more internally traumatized that's stopping people being who they call to be. One way or another, which is, you see that stuff broken. So does that sound good?
Very.
Obviously, we are limited in when we could potentially ask her, and she would. We have no idea if she would be able to come in any of the times we could ask her. So at the moment we have got months where we're not doing anything, particularly May, August and sort of November or October, because we're doing something at the very end of October. It's like 29th, 30th and 1st. So we've got sort of like 2 or 3 weeks either side of that, which we haven't got anything on. So and that's an intensive, so that's not actually going to affect, you know, generally people anyway. It's not going to be,
but then actually we could look at other months where we've just got intensive,
which would be April and July once we've
contacted her and looked at seeing what her availability is, because she said that she travels an awful lot, doesn't
she? Travels a lot.
We just need to look at her availability, but it sounded like she wanted to make it a bit of a priority in her schedule.
If
we could all bring up something,
first time in England.
I'll see if I can contact her tomorrow. Or message her. They're 8 hours behind.
Where is she based?
Seven.
Cordelion. Is it 7?
Oh, yeah, 7 or 8.
If it's mountain time, it would be 7.
Yeah.
If it's, because Cordelion May is in Idaho. But it's very much right on the border between Idaho and Washington. Washington is definitely 8 hours.
It's 8 hours.
The other part of Idaho, at the east of Idaho, is 7.
Yeah.
So it's just one state is divided by time. And in, I think one city, there's a river going through the middle, and actually on one side it's one time and one on the other.
That must be so confusing.
Yeah. It's just bizarre.
But if you lived over the other side,
Eastern and
you'd have to leave for work extra early.
Yeah, because you go across because you oh no, I've lost an hour by going across the bridge. Ridiculous, isn't it? Of course, when you've got a communist regime like China, they just said, right, the whole country is the same time zone. So, but which means that it's 4 or 5 hours different, actually, because it's so big. And in one part, if it's 9 o'clock over here, in the morning, it's that way, like 4 or 5 in the morning, actually, so it's dark. But they don't bother them. It's just like, no, Beijing is the time. You're all on that time. Regardless of what it is in dark. Yeah, that's right. So we're going to bed over here and you're still sunbathing. But it's the same time.
Talking of sort of ministry and healing and stuff, I take it we're wanting to do the Awakened thingy as a church.
Oh, right.
Because we've been invited to go back as a project, which is fine. We talked about it, didn't we, when we were there last year, and it's like, actually this is what we need that next year. And I think with this is just an ideal opportunity to get what God's showing us even more out into
we can offer some things this year that we didn't offer
last year. And even as a project, possibly, you know, we'll be offering stuff, you know, it might be an opportunity.
And is that the same weekend?
It will be bank holiday.
We can.
But you know, we're going as a project as their they're kicking off as their charity of the year.
Time, huh?
Well, we're just going to be their charity.
You mean
she reposts stuff all the time for us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I think God's got a bigger plan there.
Yeah.
Well, because I think that's a people group that we have the authority, the mandate to target and to reach.
Stuff will be attractive to them.
Yeah, and to do, you know, to actually start doing therapeutic things for, you know, advertising it in that setting, not just in a Christian setting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like if we were to do a bowl evening or something, we could advertise it not in a Christian way, but we would be releasing intent through that to minister to people and to open them up to experiences of God and everything else. So I do think it is definitely something that we are have a mandate to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think when we really start to think, we won't be like, well, every August we'll go and do it. I think we'll be looking, well, what actually can we do at other times to be able to particularly engage those the people, but, you know, open them up to engaging the source and the light in a experiential way. You know, because, you know, when I did the seminar, I didn't have time to do an activation, but I would have actually liked to do an activation.
Yeah.
And sort of opened that whole thing up, you know, because they're all open. That's for the reason they're there. And actually, you know, so many of them have got no clue. They're searching for something, but they've got no experience, really, because actually a lot of these things aren't really anything in here. It's just motivational speaking, a lot of it. Yeah, I mean, it's just motivational techniques. There's no real spirituality behind it, which is like, you're going to go into that realm. So I think there's potential there for us to do that. But actually, when you looked at the people who came into the tent, they were obviously in tears, and it was obviously this environment where they were open, you know, emotionally open, spiritually open, and were responding.
Because I mean, Lindy had also, she did three meditation settings. So for each of the 3 days, if you've got a If you buy a pitch, you can do a session, depending on how many people want to, you get potentially up to three sessions. That can be done, plus three meditation sessions. So three like conference type seminar sort of snippets and three meditation sessions.
And again, I would be thinking now, does God want me to be involved in that, and what could He want me to do? Because, you know, if we've got three sessions, you know, we could have three people doing different types of seminars or different types of activation things to engage people. It's like, let's not start thinking about it in August. Actually, start thinking about it now and be looking at what is God saying now, and let's get a strategy for what we're going to do there now, as we move forward.
Got anything else? Anything else?
There's a couple of housekeeping things. See, the conference people's involvement in that, obviously people have come and it's designed to be activational rather than just a lot of speaking. I will be doing sessions, but actually they'll all be filled with activations, and there will be lots of opportunity for activations and engagement. That's the purpose. It's called Engaging the Father. So we want to give people the opportunity of engaging the Father on every possible level. It's like, again, thinking about, is there something God might want you to do or to testify to or whatever in terms of your Father relationship? Because it's open. It's like there'll be opportunity for involvement. You know, it isn't going to be things. Obviously, there are not that many people coming. I think there's six or seven or eight possibly now. people who are actually coming, but there's like 70 or 80 people so far signed up, or more than that, to the live stream.
Mm.
So there'll be a lot of people who are actually engaging with it.
Yeah.
So we do have an opportunity of reaching people around the world by helping to engage them here. So again, ask God if you've got a mandate to do anything. There will be obviously free time between sessions, and you know, there could be other things that we do during that time. So just be open to see if God's saying anything about it, really. So yeah, that's the one thing. Obviously with the intensive, there is opportunity potentially for people to get sort of therapy, but actually, does anyone want to be available to do ministry? Because there's 3 days, but 2 evenings really. We'll probably finish at tea time on the last day. So there'll be a couple of evenings where if there was ministry available, we could have a form in people's packs to say, would you like some ministry? Tick a box, whatever. But obviously people have to be available to deliver it. So if the ministry team or anyone feels that they'd like to offer that, then we can then include that as part of the intensive things. Because, you know, it'd be great for people to interact with people outside of the day-to-day intensive stuff. And one of the things we were perhaps thinking of doing was maybe in one of the evenings actually doing something where it wouldn't just be what we did in the day, but opportunity for people to engage or do something together, and talk and share, because they are, you know, pretty much full, the first one,
mm-hmm.
which is like 20 or so people, although we may push it a little bit more, yeah, depending on the space. So that's one thing. The other thing was, in terms of the process of people joining the church, what we have is a guidelines to belonging in terms of Fresh Start and the belonging booklet and then becoming part of a group. They're guidelines. Each situation needs to be viewed. So we have the German ladies coming.
Arrived?
Mm, here. Well, here. Yes, they're here. Sorry. So they have been interacting with us for a couple of years or more.
Mm.
So they already have considered themselves part of the church, even though they haven't been here. So they've done the activations with the marriage and the various things that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
So they are quite in tune with what we're about. They are not beginners in terms of engaging heaven. So in a situation like that, although yes, it would be great for them to do Fresh Start and to have shown the belonging booklet and think, there's no reason for them not to participate in a group because they're already part of it. So it's a guidelines, it's not a rule.
Mm.
It's not a law that everyone has to go through this rigidly, otherwise they can't be part of a group.
Mm-hmm.
Because we could have people here on an internship who are here for a few months that we would want them to participate with in fellowship. So it's like, it's a guidance which needs to be viewed with each person or each situation, not just as a blanket rule.
Mm-hmm.
So in this instance, there's no reason why they can't be part of a group until they actually find which group they want to be part of, because mm-hmm. essentially, like everyone else, they can choose through looking at the prospectuses of the different groups going forward. So yeah.
They have had the Fresh Start in German. They have taught Fresh Start.
Right.
Yeah. I think you sent them over.
Yeah, I sent them a copy of it. Yeah. Yeah, because they wanted to be part of what we do. Yeah. So yeah. So in a sense, you know, they are not beginners in this. So there's no reason why they can't just be. They come here to join us. You know, not come in to see if they want to join us. The process for someone who's coming here to see if they want to join us will be for someone who don't really understand what we're about, doesn't have sort of experiences of engaging God, and we're looking to help them see if this is the place for them. Well, these two have already made their commitment. They've left their country and come here. So they're already part of the church, so we need to view them that way.
They have left lots of things.
Yeah.
So in a way you're saying to take every given situation as a different one and then see what God's saying.
Yeah, well you've got to view it as, if someone's come from another church, they've no idea what we're about, and they've never had an encounter in heaven, well, there's obviously you look to help them see, well, is this the church for them? And obviously we give people time to come on a Sunday and look at what we do, and if they're staying around, then there's going to come a point where, well, like Ben, for instance, there's going to come a point where something Sam is going to do Fresh Start with him. Because now it's point, well, okay, you need to take the next steps.
Is Sam Fresh Start with him?
Yeah. So...
Yeah, until the 7th, Matt.
Right.
I was going to talk about it tomorrow.
Okay. Well, you must have talked to someone about it, because someone told me about it, so it wasn't Sam. So, in essence, yes, look at it from, well, where are these people and what do they need now? And if they're already, let's say, I don't know, people who've been doing the Engaging God for three years come here to move here to be with us, then
chances are they will be in tune.
But the belonging booklet will still give them the background. There's no reason why
they've read it already.
So yeah, so in this instance that's something which has already been weighed. And in one sense, if someone said, well, actually we're in the US and we want to move here for a year or 2 years, we would send them that material probably before they made the decision to come. Say, look, if you're going to come, there's stuff you need to know before you come. But in this instance, yeah, I would say it's not a law, it's some guidelines.
In your minute.
Depending on different people.
Samuel will speak to Ben as to whether we'd like to do
Fresh
Start.
We'll speak to him. Okay.
Yeah. So.
He has spoken to him.
Yeah. So, you know, I think just see it as something that you use in each situation. You know, and there'll be some very clear situation where someone definitely needs to do Fresh Start, I think, before they would actually join a group.
I think that's what we actually were looking about, that's what we viewed on the treasure and longing, we thought to.
You know, they're still coming on some Sundays.
Every other week.
Okay. Which is somewhat commitment.
It is a big commitment.
Yeah, you know, travel from Malmesbury, because it's like other side of Bath. You know, so it's not like Exeter. The other couple came from Holsworth, mate.
This is far.
Yeah.
But, you know, the stuff I shared, God had been speaking to them about. So, you know, I spoke to them after and said, what you said was a total confirmation, because God's been talking to us about restoration. But what we thought was restoration and what you shared has expanded our perception somewhat.
Surprise.
So, yeah. So they were like, you know, and they're in their 80s. But they're like, we know there's more to come. You know, I mean, they were really, you know.
I said the camera that was sitting beside me on Sunday?
Yeah. The sort of older.
I think they actually meet
Well, the other two ladies that came, one was Ben's mum and one was his grandma.
Okay.
Right. Ben's mum? Ben's mum and grandma.
Well, they just he's obviously talked about it. And
Wanted to come and see.
Yeah.
He wasn't there, was he?
No, but.
Probably not a bad thing.
Said that, It wasn't on purpose, it was just that they knew it wasn't going to be there, but they took the opportunity to come regardless.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, we need to call those people in, those that should be resonating with the sound and their part of their journey, you know, we need to call them in and see them begin to flourish here. It's part of people's destiny, but we need to get rid of destiny robber.
Yeah.
To make sure that they're not going to come and get hindered, you know, but can come and be free. So, yeah, that's something I've got to check out.
As we did sort of briefly touch on the Culture of Honour stuff, I have actually got like a excerpt from.
I think that didn't that go when we did the away day on it. I think everyone had one of those.
Did they?
Yeah.
When we did the away day. It's worth reviewing the CD. I can post it to Slack.
Yes, please.
It's just basically a typed up version minus all the stories and, you know, chit chat that he does on the CDs, which I can post to Slack. It's really good actually, it's really interesting.
So we've got Justin Abraham to here tomorrow, coming to look around and see what we do and look at how we do what we do.
No. Just look around, no meeting or no.
He's not coming for a meeting. He's he wants to actually look at how we're engaging the community, and you know, we can chat to him about some of the practicalities if they're going to look to establish something more than just a company of people who collect to come together sit now and again, which is where they're moving forward to. But they do have a heart for some of the things that we do and things of interacting. So,
What's his wife called?
Rachel. So there's three of them. There's Rachel and Janine, who's their worship band person, who's part of their bench. I think Jane Schroeder was coming, but actually she's moving to Scotland anyway, so I think she couldn't come in yet. When he's going down to Marketplace on the Wednesday. Or he'll be going down there Tuesday evening to stand down there on the Tuesday evening.
Anything else? Only like what's Sundays, just to open it up. If anybody wants to share anything to that little group in there.
Mark's fabulous.
Oh, superb! Mm-hmm.
Was brilliant. Yeah, bless him.
So right not to do them together. So they wanted to do it together. And then we've really felt that.
Who?
Andy.
Oh, right,
they wanted to share on the same day.
Oh, right, yeah.
So we really felt, but it was so...
Yeah. So will Alan do his separately?
Yeah.
Is he happy to do that?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
That crispy in there as well.
Yes, that was just really profound, wasn't it? Because he said he was at, what's
the
it called?
The Eldor.
Together.
Oh, Eldor.
The first time.
They've had a few from, because the guy that we put in last week was at Eldor.
That's the one we're talking about.
Tony.
We know what? Who've been
Tony
to Eldor?
No,
I
thought it was somebody else.
There's another new guy there, Chris.
So it wasn't the one that we put in.
No, it was Chris that he knew.
Yeah, that's right.
But Tony also been to Yeldor, and Kieran had been to Yeldor, and me, and someone else in there had also been.
Okay. Well, in light of the Sunday things, the question still stands: input into it in terms of what season we're in and what things need to be part of that season, and for all the mountains to look at. Potentially what involvement or what input they could bring into that.
Yes, because I think that's one of the things that's like, you know, we felt that that was right, but actually it's wider than just us.
It always was. I mean, we mentioned it last.
Yeah, no, I know, but it's just reiterating. Because obviously most people came out with you yesterday, which is great, but it's just the awareness of, which is, I thought that was really positive, because... hasn't always been, has it? Which for me was a good sign that people want to hear. Yes. I thought that was positive, but it's still, even though people are out in that, the awareness that there may be something that God wants them to bring.
Yeah, but also, if there is something that everyone needs to participate in, then we need to facilitate that and say, actually, this week, we need to, everyone needs to be together.
I understand that, but there's still the times when there won't be.
Yeah.
There's still a whole other group of people who we still need to do something for.
Yeah.
It's almost easier if someone says, oh, I've got something we've got to share, so let's all come together then, but I'm not talking about that necessarily.
No, I'm saying that there's both things. There are some times that it will be important for everyone to engage, and there are times when it can be specifically directed towards those who are at that stage. The initial parts of restoration, all things, it's not anything too out there. Just like setting the scene for, hey, all is all.
Leading me gently.
Yeah. That was good, because I didn't get anywhere near finishing, which is always a good sign. I just didn't go through the slides.
Are we sure there's nothing else? Early night then.